One beautiful thing I really want to share to the audience, because we had spent so much trying to unite this team again, was I had never asked the kids on the court to pass Jason the ball. Yet in those last 4 minutes, they passed him the ball every time. And to me, that's what the essence of teamwork is. You're willing to give up to shine the light on another teammate. And that's probably one of the most profound, touching things to my heart, is to see how they were willing to do that for him. And it just shows how much they appreciated and cared about him.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness, while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. It's Ben Baker, and welcome back, my wonderful audience. Thank you guys for listening in every single week. Thank you for connecting with me on LinkedIn, telling me what you like, what you don't like, who you want to talk to, who you want to hear, and what do you think about the show? So I appreciate every single thing that you guys do. This week, I've gone in a little bit different direction. I have had somebody I've wanted to have on this show probably 9 months or a year. And we've been trying to figure out when was the right time to do this. And I figured, you know what? Now is the right time. So we're going to have Coach Jim Johnson talking about life lessons learned from the basketball court. Coach Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ben. I'm glad we were able to do this.
It's about time. I mean, and I have had countless conversations offline.
Yes, we have. Some
great times. Yep. We talk about all sorts of different things. And I went, you know what? I got to get Jim on the show. And I keep, when do we have time to do this? When does it work with your schedule? When does it work with mine? And it did. So I'm excited to have you here.
Well, great. I'm looking forward to it.
So I want to talk about a bunch of stuff. I want to talk about JMAC. I want to talk about teamwork. I want to talk about inspiration. But what I want to start off is a little bit about you. Give the audience a little bit of a hint about who you are, where you came from, and what brought you to this point in time, because you've had a pretty history career. You've had a pretty successful career as a coach.
Actually, I grew up in an athletic family. I was the oldest of six. I have three brothers and two sisters, and my father was actually my high school basketball coach. So he was very much in the athletics. So we got involved, and I played a lot of sports, and basketball became my major love when I hit high school, although I played other sports as well. When I got into basketball, I started to get to the point where I was a pretty good player. Of course, in my mind, I thought I was a really good player, which was, unfortunately, wasn't true, because I had a pretty good high school career. And the school I went to, and I live in a suburb of Rochester, New York, called Greece, is the biggest suburb. Our high school program hadn't been good, and we actually had a really good season my senior year. So that was kind of got us going and that kind of thing. But then I got to college, and I got humbled. I thought I was going to be a great college player, and I was such a great college player. I played one semester at one school. I transferred to another school, and I got cut the next year.
And you rode the pines, did you?
Yeah, it was a pretty humbling experience. And I kind of wavered for a little bit. I forgot to start going to class. I forgot all the reasons I was in college. But fortunately, after about a year of some shoddy college things, I met a lady my junior year in college, and we ended up getting married. In fact, we've been married now for 38 years. And she helped me kind of get my life straightened back out. And we actually moved back into my hometown. And I started my teaching and coaching career. And there I struggled a little bit early. I actually was assistant coach and teaching part-time in my hometown. And after 3 years of that, I got a full-time job and I became a varsity basketball coach at 25 years old. And I was excited. I thought I knew everything about coaching. And although this program was in very good shape, I thought with my great coaching genius, I was going to turn the program around in the first year. Well, I did such a great job that we were 1-1 after my first two games, and then we lost 17 games in a row. And then they had insult to injury. I didn't like what the administration had to say to me after the year, but basically said, we're going to look for someone else. So I will say, Ben, that probably ended up being a blessing for me because it really woke me up and it really made me understand that I had a lot to learn about coaching, how to be a leader, And that's really when I started my own personal growth. I got a break the next year. Ironically, I had a local junior college coach call me, and his name was Bill Van Gundy. And Bill, for people that are your listeners that follow basketball, probably have heard of the Van Gundy family because his two sons have been head coaches in the NBA. Now they're both commentators. But Coach Van Gundy kind of took me under his wing, and then I worked with him for a year. And then I got back into a high school situation, a much smaller school, and we started to have a little success. And then my dream came true. After a couple of years at the small school, I got called back to my home school district and became the head coach at a school called Greece Olympia. And that program was in really dire straits. They had won two games in the previous 2 years. And that was my mission. I really wanted to, and that's where I really started to learn a lot about becoming a leader. And we'll probably talk into some about leadership principles that I learned. But fortunately, after the first 4 years, we still kind of struggled. We had a winning season the second year, but then I had two more losing seasons. But then the last 3 years, I was the head coach there. They had three of the best seasons ever in the school history. And we had some really good teams. But we got to the semifinals of our postseason tournament, which is a pretty big deal. But we lost three straight years. And then after my seventh year, we have four high schools in my town. And one of the other schools, their job opened up. And for many reasons I'm not going to go into, I just felt that this position was the best basketball position in the school district. They had had some history. They had won a state championship. They had a great player named John Wallace that played in the NBA for 7 years. I applied and got that job called Greece Athena. And there we had quite a bit of success. We had winning seasons immediately. In fact, in my 20 years, we never had a losing season, but I had another big stumbling block. And that is, a coach, you're often measured by how you do in the postseason. The regular season often is forgotten. You know, you can go 18-2, but if you get knocked out in the postseason early, it doesn't bode real well. Well, that was kind of my thing. We were winning division championships, but we were still struggling getting in the postseason. In fact, we didn't even get to the semifinals, which I had done the last 3 years in my previous school, until my eighth year. The next year is when this young man named Jason McElwain came in to our program, and we can get into that a little bit. And just
absolutely
close the story, though, we'll get back into the coaching. But during that, actually, we did have one son, and he's now 31, and he's an attorney. So we're very proud of him. Although my wife and I were both teachers, he didn't want to follow in the teaching footsteps.
Before we get into Jason J-Mac, let's talk about motivation, teamwork, and inspiration, because there are real lessons that you learn through the failure and through the success. I personally think I learned far more through my own failures than I ever do through success.
Absolutely.
And what I want to find out is, you have teams, and whether it was teams that were 2-22 or teams that made it all the way through, a really successful team and then petered off for whatever reason in the playoffs, how do you get those teams back up? How do you get those teams to sit there and say, okay, let's figure out what's gone wrong, where we are, what's our goal, and how do we move forward? Because it's not the fact that we fall down seven times, it's the fact that we get up eight. And I really want to hear about that, and then we can get into J-Mac, because I don't want to leave that alone.
The first thing is, I mean, because that's a question we could go a lot of different ways. And, you know, I do a lot of leadership presentations, and I developed these seven keys, you know, that are not anything I've really stolen from other people, basically. And
borrow,
better word, right? Absolutely, Ben. Really trying to figure out how to be a better leader. And so the first thing is that I think is really important, as simple as it sounds, I think we forget often as a leader, the first person you got to lead is yourself. And one of the things I really push people about is having clarity about who you are. One of the things I'm big on is developing your own personal mission statement, your why, your purpose, you know, really having a clarity of that. The other part of that, because one of the things I talk about in personal mission is developing a team mission. Like, for example, in our program, we developed a mission because kids always said, we want to win. And I said, I want to win too, but it's got to be bigger than that. Because I studied a lot about teams that were successful and also businesses. And it's not just profit that makes a business successful. You got to have a bigger vision than that. And it's the same with building a championship level team. So what we developed was our team mission was we were going to develop winners on and off the court. And as leader, I like to say the chief reminding officer is as important that I was sharing with them consistently because I was using basketball as a vehicle to try to teach them to be better people in life. And so it was really important to me. Yes, I wanted to develop good basketball teams, but I really was more important than I developed good people and, you know, trying to help them become leaders in their own lives. And, you know, that really starts to get into the culture piece. And one thing, because I took over four different schools. The first one, as we mentioned, I failed miserably. The next three, we were able to turn around. And the biggest difference was really developing a process of how to build culture. And the one thing that I really, my second key that I really talk about is how do you build trust? Because when you come in new, especially in situations when they've been bad, they're looking for hope, but they're still unclear about you. You know, are you the right person for the job? And so one of the things that I really talk to leaders about is that I don't think there's any leader that would say that it's not important to have trust. But I think where we neglect is that we don't really have a plan on how to build trust. And that's something that when I brought my staff together at all three of the programs, we talked about what we really wanted to spend time focusing on three areas of building trust. One was that we were going to align our words and actions being consistent day in and day out. Okay, if we said something, we're going to follow through with it. Number two is that we were going to build that trust by telling each other the truth. You know, that's why I did a lot with one-on-one meetings and really getting clarity. And then the third thing, because I did take over three programs that were not doing well, is that I think you really got to, it's the old Ken Blanchard adage, but I think there's so much truth that you got to catch people doing right more than you do wrong. And that's what we really tried to establish, is build a culture that we could trust each other. And as that started to really develop, you started to now develop some winning things. The other thing that I'll say as far as this, because as we develop winning teams, like my last few years at Greece Olympia, and then for my first 8 years in Athena, we have winning records every year, but we were falling short in the postseason. And here's something that really took me a while. It took a lot of knocks on the head, as you said, learning about the failure. Is I realized, and it was actually J-Mac's senior season, which we'll probably get to. We finally had the breakthrough. But what I realized is that one of my other huge things in leadership is to lead by example, which I think I was a pretty good example. I stayed fit. I was trying to lead by example. But here was my real downfall. And it took me a while, as I said, is I realized that through all those winning seasons, when we were getting knocked out in the postseason, I was a different person during the postseason in a bad way. I was very short with my players because I was putting so much pressure on me to lead a team to a championship. Who do you think was feeling the brunt of that pressure? Of course, my players. And when I realized that, it kind of hit me between the eyes because we had a very tough season, Jason Senior, which we can talk a little bit if you'd like. And it really made me realize that I had to be the rock with adversity. When I started doing that, especially in the postseason or any pressure situation, it really changed. We ended up winning a lot more close games, and then we started to win championships. So those are some of the lessons I learned.
Trust based on consistency is huge because you're right. I mean, we need to be the same person throughout our lives, you know, whether we're on the basketball court, we're in the classroom, we're in the office, wherever we are with our home, with our family, with our friends, we are one person. This is who we are.
Right.
And the more that we can show people the consistency, our, you know, warts and all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, this is who I am. Yes, I'm going to get upset every once in a while, but I'm just as upset at myself as I am as you guys.
Right.
And, you know, to sit there and say, let's work as a team, let's build together and be able to do that, that's going to create the trust. Once you can build that trust, and it doesn't come easily.
No, it does not.
Trust never comes easily.
Yeah.
But once you have it, it truly enables great things to happen. And I think that without trust, without that effective communication, without that consistency, I don't think you're ever going to get people to sit there and say, okay, I see where we are. I see where we want to go. All right, let's go there together. And I think that that's really where, you know, that whole consistency and trust comes from. So let's talk about JMAC, because today, if you're right, you know, the day that we're recording this is his birthday.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So shout out to JMAC.
He said some really powerful things about trust. And one thing that I believe that helps in leadership is that I think a leader should have a few non-negotiables, but not many. Just a couple. Again, they know what you stand for. So one of our non-negotiables is we had to be on time, because I thought that was a great life skill. So if you ask my players over the years how many times coach was late for a meeting, a practice, or anything, didn't happen, because that was a non-negotiable. But going back to what you said about the consistency, that if that was a non-negotiable, and then I was consistently walking in 5 minutes late, or we started practice. In fact, I did a really odd thing that I think is kind of a neat thing, is we started practices at weird times. We didn't start at 2:30. We started at 2:33. Because again, we were trying to emphasize what that importance of being on time was.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. I teach every once in a while up at the universities and to have some fun lecturing. And, you know, I usually guest lecturing situation. And when the class starts at 2:30 or 3 o'clock or whenever it starts, I lock the door. Mm-hmm. And my attitude is the people that showed up that were on time, that are sitting in their desk, deserve my attention and deserve for me to start on time. Right. And dimes to donuts, within the first 5 minutes or so, you get this knock, knock, knock on the door. And I see that they've got a coffee in their hand. I go, well, where's my coffee? If you had time to go get coffee, where's mine?
Right.
Sure enough, those people all of a sudden start showing up early and they've got two cups of coffee in their hand, one for me and one for them. It's a matter of just sitting there going, you know what? We have to make it fun. You have to have non-negotiables, but you have to make it fun. And you can't embarrass people. You got to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be the stuff that's going to build that respect and trust. So let's get into JMAC, because you know, this is a great story. From what everything you've told me, is an amazing person. So I'm going to let you take it from there without any more, you know, preamble.
Yeah. So with that, you know, Jason, he went to the same high school that I was coach at, but he didn't try out his ninth grade year. So I didn't even know him. We had a pretty big high school, so I didn't know all the students. And the next season, which was the 2003-2004 season, tries out for the JV team. So he's a 10th grader, sophomore. After a couple of days of tryouts, my assistant coach, the JV coach, comes to me. His name was Coach Amoroso, or Jeff Amoroso. He says, Coach, we have a young man. His name is Jason McElwain. He's on the autism spectrum. Now, that was quite a while ago. So I heard of autism, but I did not know much about it. And he says, but this kid, he goes, he's tiny. He can't make our team. He's not any good. But this kid loves basketball and he loves being around the kids. I think we should keep him in the program. I said, well, what do you got in mind? He says, I'm going to let him be our team manager and practice with the team. And that's what he did. And he was, at this time, he was probably 5'6". I don't think he was 100 pounds. I mean, he's just a little guy. But he hung around. And during that season, he actually got the nickname JMAC for me, because I kept butchering his last name. In fact, butchering his last name was a misdemeanor. I would have been death row. I couldn't pronounce McElwain. One day I walked in, and there was a player at Syracuse University, which is about a couple hours away, named Jerry McNamara, and everybody called him G-Mac, and he played on their national championship team. And I said, Jason, come here. You know, Syracuse has G-Mac. He goes, yeah, I love G-Mac. I said, well, if Syracuse is going to have G-Mac, why don't we have you called JMAC? And he looked at me and says, I like that. And it was great, because now you didn't have to say McElwain. And the name stuck. By the end of his senior year, I bet half the school didn't know his real name. They just knew him as JMAC.
Sure, it's a lot simpler to go JMAC. Everybody knows who it is.
Exactly. He was a team manager sophomore year. And what I really admired about him, you know, you talk about perseverance is one of the things I talk about in one of my other presentations, you know, the essence of never giving up mindset. And Jason, what was so unique is I was a head coach for 30 years. I can probably count on my hand three or four players, if they got cut one time, would try out again. Most kids don't come back if they don't make it. Well, Jason gets cut his sophomore year, stays as the manager. He comes to all our off-season workouts, and that's where I start to get to know him a lot better. I'm picking him up at his house, and, you know, I mean, he just started to really tug at my heartstrings. And he tries out for the varsity as a junior in the team I coached, and, you know, I brought him in. I said, Jason, unfortunately, you're not good enough to make the team, but I'd like to offer you the team manager job. And he quickly embraced that. In fact, at our first team meeting, at that point in my career, I'd never won a Section 5 championship, which is kind of a big deal in our area. He raises his hand at our first team meetings. I said, yeah, J-Mac. He says, Coach, I got to share with the team. We've talked about this. We're going to develop this slogan called Stay Focused, and we're going to help you win your first sectional championship. I said, well, thank you. Well, we had a good year. Actually, Jason's sophomore year, our team got back to the semifinals, but we lost. So that was a fourth time in my career. His junior year, we have another good season. We get to the semifinals. I'm sorry, for the sixth time now, because we've done it 3 years in a row, 1 year before he got there. And we lose at the buzzer. So we are devastated. Well, I just admire him because he comes out again. He comes to all our off-season workouts, tries out his senior year. Now, at this point, he's grown a little bit. He's 5'9", maybe 110 pounds. So he's not still very big.
So he weighs what my right leg weighs. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But he tries out again. In his senior year, I brought him in. And this time, you know, when I tell him that he wasn't going to make the team, he was pretty disappointed, you know, because he had invested a lot of time and effort. I said, but this year, I'm going to give you a gift. And he kind of, his eyes brighten up. He says, well, what do you got in mind, Coach? I said, well, for senior night, he goes, I'm a senior. I go, I know. For senior night, I'm going to give you a uniform and hopefully get you in the game. And as a kid, people, periodically, he would ask me about the uniform during the season. And of course, I define periodically as about every other day. He was pretty fired up. Well, the ironic thing, I wrote a book about it called A Coach and a Miracle. And the crazy thing about that year was that we were expected to have a very good team. We had a lot of players coming back. We had very high expectations, but we really had a lot of internal turmoil. And it's too long a story. It is in my book called The Coach and a Miracle. But basically, we became a divided team. And although we had a very talented team, we were struggling. And we won our first two games. And then at Christmas time, we were 4-3. And this is where I kind of had to step up as a leader. We played in a Christmas tournament at this really big high school in our community, in our area. And they were really good that year. And we both won in the first round. But they beat a team, the school was called Fairport High School, in the second game by 40 points that we had barely beaten 2 weeks earlier. So the next day, because it's in Christmas break, we bring them in to do what we call a shoot around. It's a short practice, kind of a, you know, we do some shooting and we kind of go over some plays and get ready for that game, because we do that when we don't have school. Well, I knew I had to do something different because we were still in so much turmoil. So I shocked them. I didn't bring any basketballs out. I sat them in the bleachers. I looked them dead in the eyes and I said, guys, I don't want to go to the game tonight. And they kind of looked at me in disbelief. What do you mean? You're the coach. I said, well, unless we decide we're going to be a team, we're going to lose the Fairport by 50 points tonight. But the best thing I did, you know, the old adage, and, you know, one of my keys, and you brought it up before, effective communication, is the thing that I started to become much better is that I knew I had to be a better listener. So after I gave my little 5-minute motivational talk, I said, guys, I don't have all the answers. You know, and I showed my vulnerability. I said, but if you guys aren't willing to share and bring this team together, we're never going to turn the season around. And fortunately, they started to open up. By the end of the meeting, you know, it didn't solve everything, but it definitely, you could see that they had a better bounce in their step. And that night, it manifested. We played Fairport in a great game. We didn't win, but we lost to win overtime and showed what we could do. And there we got some momentum. We won 8 of our next 9 games. That was going into senior night, which was February 15th. On February 13th, they gave J-Mac his first jersey. It was number 52. It was way too big.
And he must have been so excited.
Oh, my God. In fact, there was a rumor going around school that he slept in it for 2 straight nights. I don't know if that was true, but he was pretty darn excited. Well, senior night, for those listeners that aren't familiar, in our area, and I think around a lot of basketball world, is senior night is where you honor the seniors. And we would bring their parents or guardians out before the game. And it was really cool to see Jason, because he always came in a white shirt and black tie during the games. He's now Donnie number 52. And to see him embrace his parents in uniform is a memory I will always cherish. Well, the game begins at night. We had a really good student body following. In fact, if you go on YouTube, the JMAC story, there's a lot of hits on it. ESPN did a really nice 5-minute documentary about it. But we had a good student body following called the Six Men. And at the opening tap, they start yelling, "We want JMAC," I guess just in case I forgot. I said, "Hold on, boys, we got to wait a little bit." So my dream was I really wanted to get him in with enough time to score a basket. And I really wanted to put him in and not have to take him back out. So I thought, I want to get him in the fourth quarter, but I want to get him in enough time so he could get a few chances. So I put him in with just over 4 minutes to go, and the place explodes. In fact, I'm usually a pretty macho guy. You normally don't cry at basketball games, but this was different. What happened was one of our parents had made these pictures, these placards of Jason's face, and put them on paint sticks, and he gave them to the students. He said, "If Jason gets in the game, please show these." Well, I had no idea that was happening, and Jason didn't either. When he walked on the floor for the first time, the student body gives him a standing ovation. They show all these placards, and I, Mr. Macho, I sat down, which I rarely ever do, and tears are rolling down my face. I'm profoundly touched. Well, the game begins. Jason gets the ball in the first possession in the right corner behind the three-point arc. Crowd kind of stands in anticipation. It misses by like 6 feet. And as I kid people, I know you're not supposed to pray in the public schools, but I was praying, "Dear God, please help him get one basket." But I think a great lesson we can all learn from this is, how many times in our lives have you failed miserably on your first attempt and then you just give up? Something I think all of us got to think about, because Jason could have done that. You know, that was embarrassing. He just started, because one of the things we always taught our players is next play. You know, got to be ready to move on. And Jason illustrated that to the best. Well, the next possession, he gets a much shorter shot from about 10 feet. And this time it hits the backboard, hits the rim, and falls off. And I'm thinking, all right, God's starting to listen. We're getting closer. Then the third possession, he gets another three-pointer. And this time he lets it go. Magic. It goes in. The place just explodes. And I'm thinking to myself, God must be a basketball fan. At least Jason scored.
He's got a JMAC fan, if nothing else.
It's got to be a three-pointer. And I'm thinking, it can't get any better than this. He's got a three-pointer. Well, after that, for the next 3 minutes, as I kid people, Jason's boyhood idol was Kobe Bryant. Unfortunately, he passed away, and he started turning into Kobe Bryant. He starts making shot after shot. And I got to fast forward now, bring you back to the end of the game. 4 months after that, Jason is up for the ESPY out in California for the greatest sports moment of the year. And one of the four finalists he's against is Kobe Bryant, his idol. Kobe had scored 81 points in an NBA game, and he was one of the four finalists. So he got to meet his idol, and he actually beat him out for the ESPY. Now going back to the final game. So he's making all these shots, and I'll take you through the last 10 seconds. Our opponent that night, Spencer Board High School, and I want to give kudos to their coach and players. They're really good sports. They score, and our player takes out of bounds, and normally he throws it to our point guard, but for some unknown reason, he throws it right to J-Max. So J-Max dribbling down the court. I look up, the clock's ticking. I thought they were just going to let him go, and he'd go in and make a short shot. No, he pulls up like 2 feet behind the arc, almost an NBA three. He lets go this rainbow. I'm thinking, Jason, don't shoot for that. It's way too far. Swish. I look over, our student body runs on the floor, our players run on the floor. I think I'm living the movie Rudy. This was truly incredible. Last point is, I didn't realize, I had no idea how many points he had scored. And our public address announcer, he's got the ball over his head. He's sitting on his teammate's shoulders. And our public address announcer comes on and scores and says, "The leading scorer for the Trojans tonight, J-Mac, with 20 points. Which it was crazy. And, you know, he ended up tying a school record for 6 threes. And one beautiful thing I really want to share to the audience, because we had spent so much trying to unite this team again, was I had never asked the kids on the court to pass Jason the ball. Yet in those last 4 minutes, they passed him the ball every time. And to me, that's what the essence of teamwork is. You're willing to give up to shine the light on another teammate. And that's probably one of the most profound, touching things to my heart, is to see how they were willing to do that for him. And it just shows how much they appreciated and cared about him. So,
And it's such an incredible story. You have on your LinkedIn profile and everywhere else, it says, attitudes are courageous. Is yours worth catching? And I think the team actually took that. And I think that they took it from your talk with them the day before, whatever, with that conversation before that big game that you guys ended up losing. And over time, that was able to sit there and say, look, we have to win and die as a team. Mm-hmm. And J-Mac became an essence of the team, a senior, and being able to rally around him and give him his moments to be able to shine, you know, I think did as much for his teammates as it did for him, as it did for you, as it did for the program, is that it brought everybody together. Mm-hmm. And that was the essence of leadership, to be able to sit there and say, look, this kid has his due. Let's put him on the court. Let's give him a chance at it. Give him an opportunity. Win, lose, or draw, let's give him the opportunity to show the world what he has after all these years and all this time and dedication of actually being there. And I think the team around that was able to see where the magic lied in that, is the fact that they saw that he was not just given this opportunity just because of his name or what he was, it's because of what he did. That's leadership. That's teamwork. That's inspiration. And I think that those are the things that we need to be thinking about no matter where we are, whether we're coaches, we're leaders within organizations,
right?
Whoever we are, how do we give people a chance to shine in their own right?
Right.
And I think that that's so important. So I've got one last question for you, because we've gone this incredible circle. When you're looking at this from a coach's point of view, what is the one key thing you want to be able to tell the next level of coach, the next level of leader, to be able to enable them to be successful in their own and to be able to bring their teams along with them? Because I think that after all these years of coaching, that's probably the one thing that you can instill that can make the world a better place moving forward.
The biggest thing that I would say is that you really got to have a plan about building trust and really understanding that culture is built daily, and that what you, how you plan things, how you act. I'll give you a couple examples. Like one of the things we did, you know, we would have a theme every week. And the one of the things I really emphasize to our players is if we were going to be the best we could be, you have to be outstanding in things you can control. You brought up one of my favorite quotes, attitudes are contagious, as you're worth catching. That was an attitude quote we would share during our attitude week. Another thing you can control is your work ethic. You know, so are you investing the time and effort? And, you know, you mentioned with Jason, the fact that I believe, you know, because I put him in, but I really believed he deserved a chance because he never gave up. He came all the time. It wasn't like he just showed up on game day. Oh, no, he was there every single day, all the off season, that kind of thing. You're right, is that it was a rallying point. And it's something as a leader you're looking at, is what are the things you can rally point? Because after that game, it started a little slow because it was not my intention. We had no media there, but we started to get a lot of media, in fact, all over the world. I was on more TV and radio stations than I can shake a stick at. And of course, we're trying to prepare for this sectional tournament that we had never won. And now we're getting bigger crowds at our game. And I mentioned earlier, we had a bye in our first round, then we won pretty easily in the quarterfinals. Now, the semifinals was my big stumbling block. And in that game, we were ahead most of the game. We blew it, and we were down in the fourth quarter. But this time, I was different. I handled the adversity better. I stayed positive with the guys. They hung together. Jason was kind of our glue during the sectionals because he had to go back as our team manager, because the rule was you had to play in six games to play in the sectionals. So he knew that right up front. Yet he was so into it. It's interesting. You talk about building a team. Something that I often will end one of my talks with is that, you know, I ended up being part of six Section 5 championships after winning that first one. And Jason was part of five of them because one playing, you know, being on a team, and then four more, he was one of my volunteer assistant coaches. People would ask him, Jason, what was the best thing about your senior year? And he immediately says, is winning the Section 5 championship. And then people ask me, Coach, what was like the best thing in your coaching career? You go, I would say the JMAC game, without a doubt, because to me, that was the essence of what a team is all about when you're trying to shine the light on other people. And summarizing, it would be Number one, really be concerned of how you're building culture day in and day out. Your words and actions do matter. So that's really important. The last thing I'll say is that I think you've got to be very cognizant of what you stand for and what kind of people are you bringing on your team. Because if you don't have the right people, you can end up really struggling. We ended up, fortunately, we would keep guys that maybe had a little less ability, but were more into our culture, as opposed to somebody that maybe had a little bit more ability, but didn't fit our culture. Because it's the same thing you run in business. Maybe someone has a little bit more skill, but their attitude and work ethic are pretty weak and they don't fit your culture. And you take them because he's got a skill set that you think you can use, and it ends up bombing your business or your team more times than not. So I think you got to be very cognizant of the people you're bringing onto your team.
I couldn't agree more. Coach, the best way to get people in touch with you is through the website, Coach Jim Johnson. We'll have it in the show notes. And people can buy a Coach and a Miracle there, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, perfect. One last question. This is the question I ask every single person before I let them out the door. When you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
I've started to think about this more from a legacy standpoint. I want people to say, I met with a former player and my former assistant took over for me last year. And he's a young man. He ended up playing for the Houston Rockets part of the year last year. So that was a dream come true for him. But he said something that I'll answer the question like that. He told my assistant, because my assistant took over and has had some success, but he said, the one thing I always admired about Coach Johnson is I really believed he cared more about us as people than he did as basketball players. That's the thing that my legacy could be, is that I was a person of integrity and I cared about people. I'd be pretty happy.
You know what? It's a great thing to have, people saying this is you're someone that they trust. You're somebody that communicates and somebody that they can rely on. So yeah. Coach, thanks for the amazing conversation. I appreciate it. We're going to make sure we put all this thing in the notes. Hopefully we can get the ESPN and the CNN video in there as well. So I'll have you help me source that and we'll put that in the show notes.
Sounds great.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?